and welcome to number 21 of our 25 for 25. We'll look back at the first 25 years of Oink Inc. Radio. I'm Dan Price, along with my partner slash brother, Jim Price. And we want to thank you for joining us as we present some work we've done along the way, along those 25 years. We've been featuring our favorite, I guess you could say, 25 spots during that time, all of which have certain meaning to us for one reason or another. And we are now into our final five, which we've been looking forward to. And we will be counting these down in, reverse order. So this would be podcast number 21, but it is our fifth favorite spot of all time. And today, in this installment, we're going to be listening to and talking about a spot, actually, I guess a PSA we did for the Oregon Health Department. This was also a Dead Radio winner, which, give it to really quickly, we'll sort of review what that is, because there have been several Dead Radio winners appearing in our top 25. But every year we have this contest. We're now on to our 18th. And we solicit from writers all over the place to submit to us their favorite scripts that were never produced. They were shot down internally by their, you know, creative director, bosses, or the client themselves, or for whatever reason. And so they submit them to us. We have a big panel of judges, go through them all, award one as being the best of the year. And then we produce the spot with the writer on hand, either in New York or Los Angeles, and put them up for the weekend. It's a whole sort of nice kind of event that we do every year. And this particular spot for the Oregon Health Department was our second ever winner. So this took place back in 1999. The agency behind it was Asher and Partners. And the writer was Michael Everard. This we were sort of thinking may have actually kind of vaulted the contest, if you will. And the contest itself has been really good to us on several levels. We've gotten to meet some really terrific writers, some of whom write for us to this day. We've been able to produce a lot of great spots. We've won awards with a lot of those spots because many have gone on to air. It's always a good sort of public relations thing for us. So it's been tremendous and, you know, no real surprise that several of these would make it into the top 25. So I remember this spot for its production, which you'll come to hear and probably realize why it made a lasting impression on us. The name of the spot is Spit, and it'll become pretty evident why we call it that when you hear it. Jim makes several appearances in the spot as our spitter, which he perhaps picked up in his prior caddying days. I'm not sure, yeah, but he's awfully good at it.
Surprisingly, the sound effects search didn't yield too many stock effects of loogieing. And I remember, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead or not, I remember the engineer on this, who was Jeremy, I remember he was kind of grossed out by the whole thing. And then we had to get into actually me doing this stuff. He was even more appalled. So that was fun.
And it's funny that this spot, which is kind of like difficult to listen to, remember, it is a public service announcement, it gets this very distinct reaction when people hear it. When we play this, you know, you sort of notice in the crowd this kind of look of disdain or something for the first 30 seconds. And then as it evolves into the second half, you come to realize that there's a really sobering message here. It was sort of it's kind of interesting to watch this. And it gets the same reaction every time people hear it. And I'm sure it will when we play it. The biggest wince comes at about the 50-second mark, which you'll no doubt notice when that comes along. But I remember I got this identical reaction, and I played it for one of my very best friends. And at the time, he's still an oncologist, but at the time, he was at Sloan Kettering in New York City. And I played this for him, and he's sort of making these faces along the way. And here he is, this sort of like famous surgeon, and I make radio commercials. So I was kind of like, oh, this isn't going very well. But the second it was over, he immediately said to me, you know, how can we get this on the air? It's, you know, that effective. And I can't imagine that once someone would hear this commercial, they would not give pause to the habit that we'll be sort of talking about in this spot. So anyway, without further ado, why don't we play it and then we'll talk about it a little more. It's, again, a spot for the Oregon Health Department. It was a dead radio winner way back, as I say, in 1999, and written by Michael Everard. And it's called Spit.
Ah, the glory of spit. It comes in all shapes and sizes, different textures and different colors. Each spit has a personality of its own. And nothing works up a fine mouth lather quicker than a pinch of your favorite chewing tobacco. One dip and you'll enjoy hours of spitting fun. There's the wintergreen plop, the big leaf splat, or for the more discreet, there's the soda can squirt. Whatever your technique, you'll get lots of practice because chewing tobacco is addictive. Pretty soon you'll be up to a tin a day and spitting your little heart out. But here's a reminder. Do pace yourself. If that jaw cancer sets in too early, those doctors, they'll just cut your chin right off. And there's no spitting without that. If you don't chew, then don't start. If it's too late for that, call 1-800-4-NO-CHEW and we'll help you quit. Paid for by the Washington Department of Health.
So you'll notice at the end there, Simon Preble, who's the British voiceover in that spot, who we've called upon many times over the 25 years, he tags it for the Washington Department of Health. I'm not entirely sure what had happened at the time, but the client of Asher and Partners may have been the Oregon Health Department.
Yeah, I think that's how it went. That they were the and the account executive or something. I think they were sort of repulsed by the script.
Unauthorized.
They were always kind of repulsed by the script, and I think, you know, they thought that this place wanted absolutely nothing to do with it, and who knows, that may be how it went down. But so on the fly, we kind of
changed the name at the end, yeah.
Which is the great thing about the dead contest. We can pretty much do what we want. But it's also funny, you know, talking about people's reactions and even just like in the production itself. You know, I remember Jeremy, the engineer, being kind of repulsed the whole time. And it's funny hearing Simon, too, who is kind of like he sounds. You know, he's very proper. He's a great guy and all that. But I don't know that he ever, I imagine he heard the finished product, but I remember him just looking at the script thinking, what the hell is this going to be?
Which is sort of the reason, I guess, we cast him in the place is just to sort of counter.
And I remember that's how the music kind of decision went down. I remember we, you know, the dead contest, the writer almost always leaves before the thing's over and we play with it for, you know, days and all that. And I remember the one thing just being, you know, is something going on alongside the, you know, the spot itself? And I think we tried it without music, and then we, you know, landed on that piece. I'm pretty sure it's a famous classical piece, but I sure as hell don't know what it's called. But I remember thinking that plays along nicely with Simon and even more at odds with what the heck is going on. So I always thought that was funny.
Well, and I think, you know, sometimes, you know, creatives might think that using sort of jarring, gross sound effects and things like that could be a bit gratuitous. But I think the vehicle and using Simon and the music and everything all sort of lended to this gallows humor type thing where you're not really sure if you're supposed to kind of laugh at it. It's like this uneasiness, you know, that comes over people. But it's also, I think, at the same time, kind of a slow motion train wreck that's about to happen because you can't stop listening to see where the heck this is going sort of thing. But anyway, that was my recollection about the process and why we did certain things the way we did. But I remember in the studio, and this was a Tabby Sound and Jeremy Goldsmith, who Jim has referred to a couple times. If I'm not mistaken, we had put down like plastic or newspaper or something all over room and were sort of spitting into different vessels.
They had just finished building the studio. So it was pretty brand spanking new, and they still had sheets of you know, pieces of sheetrock laying around. And I remember the wintergreen splat, or the one with the little resonance or whatever at the end, was spat onto one of these big pieces because it is kind of sloppy. And yeah, there was plastic underneath. And Jeremy's, you know, it's, you know, basically you're in your new home. And here we are, you know, loogieing every which way.
Yes, but it yielded a good spot that worked out great for us, got a lot of attention at the time. And so anyway, that's why we wanted to recognize a dead radio spot in our top five, which is what we're doing here for, again, the Oregon Health Department, for the agency Asher & Partners, the writer Michael Everard. And that's it for podcast number 21, our fifth favorite spot in the last 25 years. And so we will catch you next time with number four. Thanks.